Welcome back to the Intellectual Explorers podcast. I invited Guy Sangstock back on the podcast. If you recall, Guy is the co-discoverer of the conversational modality called circling, and he is really good at what he does. Some in the community call circling an intersubjective meditative practice. Another way to say it is that it's a gym for authentic connections. I recommend you give our first exploration a listen. It was a few episodes back, and it was called What is Circling and What Does It Want? In this exploration, we talked a little bit more about circling for the first 40 minutes or so, and then Guy was kind enough to circle me live and recorded. So if you're interested in engaging in circling yourself, if you live in a nearby major city, there's usually a circling group there. This will be a good preview for you, so you're not walking in totally blind. All right, enjoy this exploration I had with Guy. I'm just starting to get little glimpses of excitement.
Wouldn't it be? Have we started it yet?
I think we're both recording.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Don't you do the thing where you open your podcast up in a certain way, like?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to do it on this one just because it's we're doing something different.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. How would you feel if like we circled and what got revealed is that like you've been a homosexual and you just didn't know it.
Well, then I guess we can debrief afterwards. What do you want to do with that?
Well, good thing I'm recording it then on my end too. Yeah. Sweet. So let's welcome. Welcome to your show.
Yeah. It's good to be here.
Yeah. I would imagine just with your with the listeners, you could just give a little bit of context about what's maybe a little bit different than the norm or the other podcasts that are happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Probably start there, I would imagine.
Yeah. So the essence of this podcast is sort of exploring another person's sort of cognitive space, what I like to refer to as like their map of reality, their ideas of how the world works and how it should work. And I come into the podcast with sort of what I like to call performative agnostic. I act as if their worldview is true and I'm just here to understand it and then kind of explore together. And you and I had that when you were on the last podcast, and a lot of people really resonated from both our audiences in the circling community and intellectual explorers community really resonated with that episode. Mm-hmm. And so it just intuitively felt right for us to do something else. Mm-hmm. And then kind of like when we're chatting beforehand, we're like, hey, let's just circle me. Totally. And I guess people in the pre-introduction recording, I'll kind of explain again what circling is and then also reference to the previous podcast that we had. But the idea now is for you, the founder of circling, to circle me.
Mm-hmm. Great. What would you say? First of all, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you as well.
I had such a good time. Like time disappeared when we talked last time, and it was like that because we, you know, we chatted for a while before we pressed record. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing is, it's just a real, I just noticed very little hesitancy in me. No, like from the moment that we met, there's just kind of a very, there's a very, like an, I have a very pre-reflective open response to you. And I find myself just not being so self-concerned.
Right.
It seems like it seems to me that has a lot to do with, like the way you meet the moment.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because the feeling I get with when I'm relating with you, and we haven't even met in person. We just kind of met like twice on Zoom, but it has a similar felt sense of someone I've known for years. And it's kind of a weird feeling because I have that feeling, but then like I'm just like, I don't know much about you and your personal life and all that, the facts of your life, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting to think about, well, what is that? Like, what is that sense of familiarity? What are we familiar with?
Hmm.
Like, what knows to feel that way? Like, it's like, I think that that's just kind of interesting. Like I noticed with myself a lot of the things where I feel like a sense of a flow state that happens are usually things that I find my interest gripped.
Hmm.
And then it could be years before I even comprehend exactly what I'm interested in about that, like, or why I was interested in about that. And there's that's always been interesting to me of like, how does my interest know to be grabbed by something? And before I even understand what there is to be grabbed about, there's some kind of non-cognitive thing that kind of gets gripped by the world. And I think it's something similar with you. It's like, there's something, my interest just goes there and it doesn't stop and consider itself and get self-conscious. And
that's awesome.
All that. And I would say I guess the question I have is, when we had the first interview, like, what were parts, was any of it like what you would call circling? Did it have any elements of circling?
Mm. Yeah. In the sense that, okay, so the no part was that I wasn't trying to sort of police myself in a certain way when I do encircling. I'm really loyal to the rules when I circle, so to speak. But this process that was similar was the mapping over my words to sort of what was happening in my reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just sort of this, like, without kind of engineering, like, especially when I shook off the whole kind of podcast host mode, I wasn't trying to engineer an outcome. Like, okay, we have to talk about this. We have to have this sort of experience. We have to produce this artifact for the listeners. It was sort of just kind of just seeing each step, you know, taking it one step at a time.
Right. And it sounds like that what you were letting go of was a kind of a transactional nature.
Right.
We're doing this in order to achieve something else, that there was something about, and that's what I really felt. I noticed that you did a lot and I really appreciated it. Like, you're just like, oh God, I want to get the, and you're like, okay, I'm just going to shake off. You shake off the I it, right?
Right, 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 right.
And it would go into I thou. And what was interesting to me, and this is one of the things I think it's important about circling, is so there is a form to circling, right? And it's really important, and especially when you're first learning how to circle, because the form, like any kind of practice, puts a constraint around you. Like, you know, if you're practicing tennis, you know. Or if, like, you know, I remember, I think it was in Rocky Balboa in the first Rocky, he wasn't a southpaw, and he was trained to be a southpaw, and they show scenes where he's like his hands are tied up, his right hand, so he couldn't use his right hand, and he had to work within those restraints, and so he became a southpaw and surprised everybody. So it was like, any kind of practice or skills-based practice will always involve usually constraining constraining yourself so that you don't do what you're naturally good at, and you do something that you're not that good at, and you struggle with it. And that struggle is important. But also, what that starts to reveal is that circling isn't necessarily, at least to me, isn't necessarily about just talking about what you're feeling or talking about, like, you know, or staying within a certain language. But there's a kind of point where you can kind of like circle with the person that you're sitting next to in the bus stop, right? Without even using any of that language, but just the way that you enter into the dialogue, the way that you are, and your sense of spontaneity, and like being aware of, like, implicitly where your body starts to get oriented to being with another, right, in all of its complexity, and being present to that person is, and you are, and that there's something happening, and that you can even stay within all the social norms. But circling is really that thing that you enter into it in such a way that you invite that which is most real, right, to shine forth. And I thought that really happened with us, right, in the podcast. Even when we were talking about, like, our maps of reality, you know, we were going really, really meta. Like, we did go really, really meta. But there's something about that that it didn't occur heady to me. There's something alive to it, right? And I would say that aliveness, or that kind of spontaneity where I was, you know, when you're listening, I was saying things I'd said before, but like at a totally new angle, and was kind of aware of that. Then I became aware of the quality of your listening and how that was like a horizon that brought that in front of me. We kind of appreciated that together. Right. So there's a way in which I want to kind of just really communicate that. Cause I think my beefs about, like, the circling community, we were talking about this earlier, is I think sometimes they think that it's kind of like this. It's like if you went to yoga class, right? You go to yoga class, right? And you do these extreme postures. You don't walk out, right, and then just start doing downward dogs on your desk at work, right, in your spandex, right?
Right.
That'd be really weird. But rather, right, going to yoga class has you inhabit, right, like the gravity that you deal with throughout the day in a more open, conscious way, right? So you can do all the things that you do just more elegantly and more openly. Mm. And so there's a way where I think sometimes, like, because it's become kind of a thing, and, you know, things are things, and they have like an air to them, and they're kind of like you're in something, you can become identified with it, that there's a tendency to think that, like, circling and the rules of circling or the agreements are instructions to be in the world.
Right.
I don't see it as that at all. I see it as, like, no, the restrictions and the sentence stems and the attention to language and how we talk about ourselves and reveal ourselves are like yoga. They're like asanas that we do so that you can go and not so that you can go and, like, circle your mother.
Right.
But so that you can actually inhabit the conversations that you always have with your mother, right, in a way that's like a lot more open, a lot more intimate. It draws out more spontaneity. And you don't even ever have to really necessarily explicitly talk about your feelings. But you can bring that awareness that there are feelings happening and have a relationship to them in your bodies and all the micro movements and the curiosity that you have with them without having to sound weird.
Right. And I know exactly what you mean, because there's a few people that I've experienced in the broader circling or authentic relating community who do that, where they take those rules that exist in that container of circling and they apply it to kind of everyday life. And it just comes across, in my opinion, as awkward when that happens. Right. And I was mentioning to you before we started recording about as a similar metaphor, my experience with acting when I was younger. And it's like, you know, in acting, you can go to all these crazy emotions, right? You just go loud, you go quiet. And I've taken acting classes that actually use acting techniques for social skills. And when you do that, it's like a light dimmer, right? Your ability to go at a really high emotional level, really low emotional level, it allows you now to do that kind of, or it gives you the option to do that in the wild, in a kind of a normal social environment, but you just don't do it. You don't kind of take that acting technique and put it in like a everyday setting, but you have the capacity to, so it allows you to calibrate.
Yeah.
And I guess the way to do it is like, if you can be successful in that container, that circling container or the acting arena, it's like, it's transferable skill set to have in a different arena, but it's not like you kind of are sensitive to the rules of that arena though. You don't just kind of disregard them and implant a different set of rules.
Yes. And the skills that you practice, right, as you're practicing them, the real thing that's happening, on one level, you're becoming a better communicator and you know what words to say and when to say them. But what's actually happening there is what it takes to be good at that is really developmental, right? Because I've noticed this, that like, you know, when we teach the Art of Circling, which is our facilitator's training program, you know, we talked a little bit about this in our last podcast, where there's like seven stages that we've distinguished in circling. And so each weekend is on a particular stage. And the first one is sovereignty. The second one is explorer. The third one is warrior, deep sea diver, the midwife, and then integration. And it's interesting because sovereign, right, is all about just being aware of self, basically. Like kind of knowing where your center is, knowing where you end and someone else begins, and learning sovereign is all about the language of owning your own experience, knowing where to put your attention to like find yourself and then start to articulate yourself, right? And that's like, that can be really difficult for some people, but it's doable. Like you're like, okay, what are you feeling in your stomach? Like, I don't ever feel my, oh, I'm tight there. Oh, I have a tightness there, right? So like you can kind of bring your attention to it and it can be difficult, but you can do it. And then there's the explorer stage and people can pretty much get a grip on that. And there's the explorer stage, which is all about like, well, who are you? And it's about asking questions. It's about like getting your world. It's about like kind of playing it back in such a way that it makes sense and that you get that I'm listening to you and deep listening. And there's deeper levels like that. Like I think circling is really a deep dive and explore. Ultimately, all the stages are about that. But people can pretty much practice that and get really good at that. But then when you get to warrior, right? Warrior is all about like naming dissonance or being with dissonance and welcoming it and looking at it and sealing exits around what's most alive, right? And often uncomfortable, right? Now that, when we start to get there, that seems to take a developmental level. Like that's not like you, it's not like you can kind of know what to do with your hands. There are things that you can do, but leaning into discomfort with somebody and like, especially for example, if somebody is, let's say really scared of someone else's pain, right? If they see it, right, they have to kind of like, they have to work through their issues around like, well, what's it like to, are you afraid that you're going to get lost in their pain and you'll never go like come back? I mean, some people have experiences like where they have tragedies and trauma around that stuff.
Right.
So like that's where it becomes really developmental. Right. And then it's like then being with somebody else's emotions, you can only like be with your emotions to the extent that somebody else's emotions to the extent that you can be with your own. Right. And so that's where it gets really deep. Right. Where the process of learning circling is actually kind of a psychological developmental, I would say even a spiritual kind of development that when you practice these things, you're on one level learning the skill, but what it takes to become good at that skill is actually developing the capacity to relate. And that capacity, right, is something that's much deeper. Mm. And it makes so much more possible.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. And I'm curious how, And maybe this is going to kind of the intellectual exploration mode, so you can kind of swipe this question away, but just I'll just throw it out there. I'm curious how you develop this. Like, I imagine it organically kind of formed after years of practice.
Yeah. That's the trick. I mean, that's one of the tricky parts of it with me is, like, when I circle, I never think about rules. I never think about really what I'm doing because I didn't learn it that way.
Right.
I learned it through just, like, it seemed like that thing we were talking about where being hides itself and conceals itself, and then something's revealed in the interaction. And, like, Jerry and I noticed that thing caught us, and we kept looking at it. And as we kept looking at it, the process of looking at it was the process of this thing called circling, which is really about being with what is in relationship specifically. And it wasn't therapy, and it was different than anything else that we were around, or Jerry had done a bunch of stuff. I was pretty new to it. He had done a bunch of courses, and, like, so he was really like, "Whoa, this is different." And then it kind of, like, a few months later, it got a name called circling. And then, like, more people got into it. And, like, there was a whole community that formed around it. And then other people started doing circling. And now it's all over the world. But it's really kind of a bottom-up experience. And that way, you know, circling is really fractal.
Mm.
And then when it was when I started to grok that certain, I started to see patterns after doing circle after circle after circle. You know, I would notice where things would kind of fuck up, right? Where, like, it was like a scratch record or something like that. And it's interesting. I started noticing it, which is where, like, one of the leaders would say something, and it's a scratch record.
Hmm.
But I'd also notice that she would have said that, like, they would have said that in the beginning of the circle, that would have been really congruent. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. There's a difference. We're at a different place. And I was like, that's when the stages started to, like, become distinct for me. And then it, like, becomes, you know, because that's what happens when you pay attention to something, is attention. When you pay attention to something and you sustain it, attention makes distinctions. And then you can only relate to that which you have distinctions for. So as those distinctions started to show themselves just through, like, gaining a sensibility over and over and over again, then I was like, I think we can genuinely teach this now. Mm-hmm. So we taught it, but we didn't know how we were doing it. So it was really difficult to teach. So we would just circle people until they bled, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know. But then that's when I partnered with Alexis Shepherd, her and I taught together for years. And we got together, and she's got kind of a psychology background. She was getting her PhD I forget what it's like, the kind of Transpersonal Institute or something like that.
Okay.
She was writing her thesis on the phenomena of awe. She's awesome. Like, she's just so smart and brilliant and beautiful and, you know, luminous. And so we would get together and grapple with it and, like, write terms out and go, like, try to distinguish the things, you know. And we do this in preparation for the year-long course, which was the first circling course that was explicitly about training to circle.
Mm.
And so we would, like, have the first weekend, and we would kind of come up and bring terms to it. And we'd get in arguments and fights and, like, but out of this really committed conversation with each other, then those distinctions started to form language, right? And, you know, the stages, like, I think we started with, there were 5 stages, right? Now there's 7 stages. And we've changed the terms at different points. Because I'm sure it's going to keep probably happening, right? Because when you get distinctions for things, right, in some domain, your ability to make distinctions becomes greater, mm-hmm. right? Like, the more distinctions that you have, the more ability you have to make distinctions. And that feedback loop, right, at least for me, looking at circle, keeps yielding more and more and more and more. And as we were talking about before, there's this kind of point where I'm like, God, I don't feel like I'm, this is really not just about being close to people. This is about being close to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? this is about like, oh, there's a kind of a mystical element in the sense of mystery that this starts to, this starts to access like the wonder that's coming through your eyes. That is, on one level, it's you, but it's beyond you. And it can be concealed to you. And there's ways that we can let it be revealed. And in that revelation that we share together, in order to conceive of that and grok that, I have to become somebody who could. And I think for me, this has become, although circling isn't explicitly a spiritual practice, for me, it's become my spiritual practice. Mm. And because being with what is, everything in your life is. So everything is a relationship with what is. And so authenticity in kind of the Heideggerian sense, right, is this kind of way of like inhabiting temporality or inhabiting a moment, right? And taking on the world that you find yourself in with such authorship that one becomes, has moments of authenticity. Mm. And that happens everywhere. That can happen wherever there's anything. Wherever there's a you, there's a world. And that world can be infinitely complex. And this is, so as I'm doing this, I'm also kind of setting up context for us like circling. But there's a, I've thought about this, right? About, well, why is it called circling? Like, it's so funny because we were trying to figure out names for it and stuff, right? Like we're looking at Greek terms. And it just actually, how it was called circling was so random. Like Jerry, who is, you know, we're both like, you know, dorks, you know, we were always fucking with each other and like fucking with everyone else. And like, we were, you know, poking around, and he particularly was really pokey, mm-hmm. you know, and this guy, a friend who was kind of on the outskirts of everything, he never actually, you know, ended up being in circling. He was just kind of in the general vicinity. He'd known Jerry for a long time, and Jerry started to like kind of like do, you know, fuck with them and kind of do the circling thing. And he was like, hey, and he just was totally random. He's like, hey, you're doing that circling thing on me. And it stuck.
Hmm.
Now, I always thought, like, you know, for the longest time, I just thought that was just kind of random. But I'm like, well, hang on a second. So I think that because it was so random and it stuck, reveals a sensibility about it, right? Because he could have said, oh, you're doing that, like, you know, that Darth Vader thing on me, right? Or that peanut butter thing on me. And I don't think it would stick. I've been thinking lately about, well, why is it that circling stuck? What's the sensibility that it makes sense to have it be called circling? And then everyone started calling it circling. And then before we know it, there was this thing that we're doing called circling. It's almost kind of like we found out after the fact.
Mm.
And the thing how that makes sense to me is in something that Jung talks about, right? And Jung writes about this, but he also writes in this way. And this is why it's really something to read Jung. Because if you read Jung, get ready, because you'll have to become someone who could read Jung, which means being horrified and completely changed in the process of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this thing called circle. It's a way of being with something or a way of understanding that he calls circumambulation, mm-hmm. right? And circumambulation is kind of like this. It's like it's a way of knowing or a way of being with something. And oftentimes when we think about knowing something, there's a quality of like, I apply my brain or my attention to an object. And then then I know that object. But there are some things that have intelligence at so many multiple levels or dimensions that there's no way it'll reveal yourself if you kind of come at it straight on. So rather like really deep things like people, like someone's life, right? Like a piece of the Bible, right? Like has so many levels of intelligence that to know it is to circle around it, right? To circle around it. And as you circle around it, right, it starts to reveal all of its complexity, right? It starts to shine forth that can't be grokked like subject-object. It's, right. It's like a non-Cartesian way of knowing. And here's the thing about that is that circumambulation, that the one who's circling becomes part of the thing that's revealed, right? It's a full involvement where your participation in it becomes part of the way that it unfolds itself. And I'm like, that when I thought about that, I was like, yeah, there is that sensibility about circling around something, right? Is like, on one level, you're just the fact that you're doing that, you're already revealing it, and that the sense of like, oh, it's something worthy of circling around, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a humbleness about it, and there's like an involvement in it. There's a like being changed by it, being mutually articulated by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that very much feels like, as I've gotten better at circling with people, it feels to me that that's the thing I've gotten better at, right? Of like circling around something and being open to be changed by it.
This is helping me kind of grok circling. Because as I was mentioning to you, I was using this maybe a ill-advised metaphor of my experience of circling sometimes, where it's like almost like I get blue balls, you know, like it's like I just want to like get the answer, get the orgasm, you know, I just want to go for it. But it's like, you know, that patient process that you're doing, that seductive dance of circling. But if you just go straight for it, you know, it's a bad move. You're going to lose it.
Totally. That was very difficult for me to get the sensibility, because you know, at first it's like, you know, you go back and forth and you just kind of zero in. I mean, I think Jordan Peterson talks about that a lot. Like, you know, we're always, if you're a human, you have an aim, and that you're orienting to it, and everything that you're doing is an orientation to something transcendent.
Right.
And you know, I was in my early 20s, right? And I was, you know, power lifter and bodybuilder and like, you know, like loaded with testosterone and like, and had the cosmic question deep inside of me.
Mm. So
it wasn't my tendency to circle around something. My tendency was to go and like
hunt,
wrestle yeah. with it and like yeah. grab it. But then I'd notice like, actually there's another way of being with something. And that then that's when something shines forth that I couldn't have known was even there. And so just noticing that, and us, everybody doing it, getting attuned to that quality of beingness is really, I think, the thing that kind of drew people to circling, and what still does draw people to circling. And it's what it's like when it becomes something else, you can kind of feel it. And that's like, it's also kind of cool because you can feel it going astray from that, from the spirit, mm-hmm. right?
When it gets too like therapeutic or people trying to caretake, stuff like that.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So how's all this hitting you? This is like we're really starting to go into context with it. And I think part of it, as I'm aware of, is just your stillness and like, your stillness and your listening. And I get the sense of like, there's like an open, like there's an openness in your eyes and like a, like you're, and I'm noticing it's having me part. For me, it seems like the flow of my language feels in relationship to that.
Mm.
What's it like over there?
I get in this sort of state when I'm podcasting, just like a hyper awareness focus state. And yeah, I'm realizing just kind of like now that camera's on me, usually the camera's not on me, I realize I'm usually still in these moments. So maybe this is sort of how I get into this state. I am a little bit cold too. The air conditioning was on. It's really hot here in Toronto. So it's maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah. What kind of stillness is it?
the stillness I am experiencing right now.
Yeah. That you notice that you have often, like, so as I brought a word to it, you're like, it wasn't like you're thinking to yourself, you're thinking, I have to stay really still right now. Realize you're being still.
Right.
What kind of stillness?
It's sort of like readiness is the word that comes to mind. You know, I am ready to take in your words, be transformed by them, and participate in, you know, possibly transforming you. Yeah. So,
You've been listening.
Right on. You've been listening.
So, see, I get the sense of that. It is that, like the thing you're saying, of because there are moments where you'd move, or I just see like little glimmers in your eye, and you're really still, but there was an animation there.
Mm-hmm.
And I am imagining that there's a way that you're understanding, or there's a way that you're listening, that's actually kind of having you see things. Like you're not just like hearing my words and understanding them. You're seeing what I'm saying. I get this sense, like where you go, oh, and then you say that thing sometimes, like, oh, there's so many threads. Like, which one to choose?
Right.
Excitement that kind of, or like a bursting forth.
Yeah. I think it's like, you know, just to circle back to the stillness, it's like, I'm really trying to listen what you're saying, because I don't want to miss a beat of it. And so, because I want to pass the ideological Turing test. I want to be able to articulate what you just said in my own words till it just feels like so resonant what you previously said. Yes. So that's maybe sort of like the readiness portion of it. And then those glimmer of moments is that when, like, you know, a daemon inspired thread emerges, like, oh, I could go somewhere with that, you know. And maybe it's just like, I tend not to like to interrupt people in general. Right. So I usually kind of just bookmark it in my head. Okay. Here's a potential thread to go down, potential thread. And then kind of that listening still to what you're saying, and then holding those potential topics.
So the thing I'm interested in, like right now with what you just said, you're like, oh yeah, somebody's saying something. And then something kind of, you said, burst forward, and like, and then you have, you know, you're managing yourself, right? Of like, so you don't interrupt, but there's a spirit in you that goes, oh.
Right.
I'm curious about what's and what's the one that's like, that goes, oh, because not everybody in my experience, like, listens for those things to go, oh, about. But there's something that just seems present. I would imagine what I'm imagining is a particular disposition or orientation to life, or the way that you sit in life, that makes what somebody says burst forth, right? Like it's almost like, in other words, it doesn't look like you're trying to do anything. It just looks like a state of being that you're in, that you're excited about something.
Right. Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Am I?
I'll say what comes to mind when you say that is that I am in an environment right now with you, and then when I have my in-person kind of intellectual explorers clubs, is that I allow myself to experience that excitement, and I'm in an environment that is receptive to receiving it.
Yeah.
But there's some environments that I kind of shut that down. I don't even like allow myself to go in that space. And then because there's a kind of an understanding that it's not going to be well received there.
Yeah, totally. So there's an attunement.
Right.
That you can attune. And so in this space here, because there's a context, right, in which we're explicitly doing that, you're really free to probably do what you probably want to do most of the time anyways. That's my hunch.
Yeah, I feel, I guess if there's a spectrum of freedom, this is higher on that spectrum.
Yeah, totally.
To the freedom portion.
So what's it like? So we'll just be fluid about this. I think we can loosely say that we're circling right now.
We're circling around circling.
totally, we're circling right now. And I just got just genuinely interested in you and what it's like for you. And I'm so now that we've actually kind of put a little bit of context around this, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of I felt like this shift, right? Some kind of shift in just kind of happened for me. There was just a sense of like, oh, I noticed I was hesitant to make it too formal. Mm. I don't know exactly why, but I just noticed I was hesitant to make it too formal. I think because I'm like, I just value a kind of organicness to things, right? But also there's a sense in which I feel like we're already circling in some regard.
Right.
Right. Like, and so specifically bringing attention to the present moment with you, right? What's just what are you aware of just right now in this moment, now that we're officially circling for the record?
Coldness I feel in my arms. So a desire to kind of.
Okay, we're going to pause here. Because at this point, Guy started circling me. It was very beautiful. It got pretty raw and authentic and personal. I even got teary-eyed. I decided not to include that portion on this podcast, as, you know, watching someone else get circled is not as interesting as being engaged in a circle yourself. But if you want to watch the whole thing, maybe to get an idea of what it's like, I'll link the full video in the show notes. All right, everyone. Until next time, keep exploring.